All right. Well, had a week off last week from preaching, and so I'm ready to go today. We're continuing on our message series called Jesus. We're looking at the person of Jesus, right? Who Jesus is through the lens of the Gospel of Matthew. I'm sticking in with this gospel because Matthew does a lot of great things with connecting the Old Testament stuff into what Jesus is talking about and what he's doing. And Jesus is going to do that same thing as we are moving into what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Some of us are familiar with that. It started last week with the blessed is this and blessed is that and blessed and blessed and blessed, right? And now we're going to go into actual some teachings on that. And so it's just Jesus is preaching a sermon here, okay? And it goes from Matthew 5 through Matthew 7. And for us to really understand what Jesus is getting at, he actually gives us a clue of how we're to read or to understand his sermon. He gives a little phrase at the end part of the real teaching that is like a little, what did you call it, like a magnifying glass that we would go back through and go back through and read his sermon again in that context. And he gives it at the end. I think it's brilliant. That's what I would love to do. Like, hey, here's the point of my end, and now go back and listen to my message again, and it'll make more sense, right? Jesus is so brilliant, he can do that. But it's not just with his own sermon that he's giving. You can take that same little phrase that he's going to use and read the entire Old Testament through that lens as a little way to magnify things, okay? Wouldn't you love to know what that little phrase is that Jesus uses? Yeah? Okay. Matthew 7. Verse 12, many of you are familiar with this, actually. Matthew 7, verse 12 says this, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets, all that is in the Old Testament. Everything that Moses had written down, all of the stuff that the prophets were trying to get at with the Israelite people when they kind of went off the side rails, right? All of the essence of it is to treat others the way you want to be treated. That's the little magnifying glass. That's a little thing that you can read the whole Old Testament through and see how are people doing with treating others the way they want to be treated. What you're going to notice is that most often the people in the Old Testament are treating people the way they think they deserve to be treated. It's a very big difference, isn't it? Rather than treating them the way they themselves want to be treated, they're going to treat them the way they think they deserve to be treated. And they are going to want to be treated the way that they think they want to be, they deserve to be treated, okay? Right? And let's be honest, that's us. That's us too. We really do treat other people the way that we think they deserve to be treated. And we want to be treated the way that we feel we deserve to be treated. And when that doesn't happen, there's a lot of fighting about it and feeling bad and name-calling and treating other people really awful, right? Let's just be honest, right? I'm guilty of this as well as anybody else. But if we can make the shift to start treating people the way that we want to be treated, it would change everything. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. There's a way in which we are to hear his words and to read his words, and they're all focused on this type of relationship right here, treating each other the way that we want to be treated too. Okay? If you have little kids, you know what that looks like. You just want them to share and get along and be nice to one another. Can't you just be that way? And they don't always, right? So that's how we're going to look at this the first teaching that Jesus is going to give, where he's going to take something from the Old Testament and he's going to present it to them and then he's going to break it down for them in light of treating others the way they want to be treated. But before we can really get the impact of what Jesus is saying, we got to remember he's talking to a Jewish audience, and that Jewish audience would be very familiar with the Old Testament. And they would know some of the stories from the Old Testament. And Jesus is going to use one of those stories to make his point. And so the point that I'm trying to say here is that they would be sitting there, and when he gets to his point, they have all of this imagery and knowledge that's preloaded so that it sits home. We don't have that necessarily. So I want to try to bring you into that so that when Jesus says what he says, we can, as best we can, be ready to receive what he's actually saying, okay? So here's the story that Jesus is going to be addressing. In the time of King Ahaz, this would be a time where the Israelite people, their kingdom from David had it all united, and Solomon had the whole kingdom united. It had broken up between a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom is where the temple is, and the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, all of that is there. And they had this mindset that God won't treat them poorly or won't allow his city or his temple to be destroyed because it's his house. And keep in mind that the northern kingdom has already been taken out, okay? So they're going, but we've got the temple. It's not going to happen to us, okay? And King Ahaz comes to reign. He's about 20 years old at the time. And through his time of reigning in Jerusalem and Judah in the southern kingdom, he has come to know some other gods. One of this god's name is Baal, and he sets up some shrines and some places of sacrifice in this valley called the Valley of Hinnom. And what they're doing is passing their children through fire. And what that means is this picture right here. The Valley of Hinnom is passing your child through fire. It's child sacrifice to this god Baal. Okay? That's what it looks like. So you have that imagery in your mind. Now, you have to remember, they believe that's completely correct way to live. This is what is right in their eyes. This is the right thing to do. If you want things to go well for you, you need to show this God how devoted you are by passing your child through fire, child sacrifice, okay? Now, after King Ahaz, he has a son. His son's name is Hezekiah. Hezekiah comes in and destroys all of this stuff, takes down the shrines, takes down the little places for and the altars and things like that, and they start following God. They discover the Old Testament stuff, and they start reading them. They start doing Passover, all of these celebrations, and then King Hezekiah dies, and he has a son named Manasseh, and Manasseh repeats the same thing that his grandfather, King Ahaz, does. Sets up these shrines and these altars to Baal, passes his son through the fire, okay? And the thing that's important to understand in their story is they know what happens at the end of this, is that God continually tried to intervene and send prophets to tell them to stop doing what they're doing. That he would never ask you to pass your child through fire as a sacrifice. That he would never have them live in this way, the way that they're living. And if they would listen to those words and turn from the way they're going, that he would embrace them once again. Otherwise, they're all in danger of God passing judgment upon them. Which means in the Old Testament times, God's judgment is a handing over to them of what they desire, what they want. I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to remove myself, and you can have what it is that you want, and see how that goes for you. In this case, handing them over to a foreign army, the Assyrian army, to come in, and they do wipe it out. They take out the temple, take out the city. They put the city under siege to such a degree that people are devouring their own children to not starve to death. Okay? Horrible, isn't it? Right? This is part of the imagery that they know about this Valley of Hinnom, this place of fire where they were passing their children through this fire. Now, as the Israelites return and things like that, they create this valley, now becomes a trash dump. They throw their trash there, even like human waste that pass through your body, they put there and then they burn it up. And so there's fires raging there to burn up their waste. That's what becomes of this place called the Valley of Hinnom. I don't know if you've ever burned trash before, but does it smell good? Is it pleasant? It's not pleasant. It's gross, right? I don't know if you've ever burned yourself and you've ever smelled that flesh burning. That's a really gross thing, or burning hair. It's gross. Well, just that's the imagery, and that's the smell and the sense that is preloaded for these people with this Valley of Hinnom, okay? The fires of the Valley of Hinnom. It's important for us to know that as we unpack it, okay? Lose anybody? We're so okay? Okay, now let's go in to see what Jesus is going to teach us. Remember, we're going to look at this through the lens of treating others the way we want to be treated, and we're waiting for that fires of Valley of Hinnom point, okay? So Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 21, this may seem very familiar, but he's entering in his teaching time. Jesus says, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment.'" Now just think about that for a second, okay? All of the law and the prophets, the essence of that is what? Treating others the way you want to be treated. When you look at murder through that lens, it's much more than just checking off your list and going, well, I didn't kill anyone today, so I'm doing well, right? There's something deeper than just that. There's something more to it. How do we do this and treat others the way that we want to be treated? Now, Jesus is saying, you have heard it said, or ancestors were told this. This is when Exodus chapter 20. Anybody who's with our Exodus series, you remember this, Exodus chapter 20, they received the 10 words, the 10 commandments, we call them. They received the 10 words, and this is the sixth word. And it's the first one that deals with this relationship right here, horizontally, okay? The other five were all about how they are in reference to God, and now this is the first one in how they relate to one another. And you are to not murder, or you're going to be subject to judgment. What type of judgment is that? I'm going to hand you over to it. You want to go and murder people? Then I'm going to hand you over to people that murder. Okay? Right? Not a great place to live, is it? That would not be an environment that we want to raise our kids and our families. Okay? So, the first thing, he says, you've been told that, but I say, verse 22, but I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. How do you get to a place where you want to kill someone? Probably a connection to anger, maybe some hatred, something deeper, right? And Jesus is saying, like, if you are even feeling that anger, you're subject to being handed over to that anger, to giving into it, to living out the way that you think is the right way to handle things. Well, let's just stop here for a second, right? This is pretty practical, just right here, isn't it? When I'm angry, when I get angry at something or someone, I feel that I have every right and I'm justified to say or do or treat them in that anger, if I allow it. What would be a better way to go about that, not allowing me to give into my anger and follow that path, because sometimes I just need to calm down before I deal with something or someone, right? I'm not alone in that, am I? Okay, so he's laying the foundation right here, right now, that even if you're angry with someone, you're in danger of being handed over to that, allowing something else to control you, like the Assyrian army coming in and wiping you out, okay? All right. So that's the first thing. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. Okay, let's take these two things together. If you murder someone and you get caught, where are you going to go? To a court, right? And now he's saying, like, even if you insult someone, if you use language to bring them down in some way, to characterize or to label them as something, you're going to be brought before a court. You're in danger of that, just like as if you murdered them. How's that hitting you, right? Need to choose our words wisely, okay? Because it's all fueling this direction towards murdering them. It all affects how we are treating someone else. Do we want to be treated with these labels and these words from other people that they call us idiot or stupid or whatever, right? Is that how we want to be treated? No, so don't treat other people. Do you see the lens? Do you see the magnifying glass? Okay, we're getting there. The third thing that he says, and if you curse someone, now cursing is not just our swear words. What it is it's a pronouncement connected with their future identity. Let me use some, and I say these carefully because I know that some of you come from relationships where this is maybe something that you've heard. But it's saying something like, you will never amount to anything. You will always be a failure. You're a worthless human being. Those are curses. Do you hear that? It's connected with your identity, moving it forward. Okay? So, let's take this. If you are angry with someone, you're subject to this judgment. If you are an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before a court. Someone's going to make a judgment about you, right? And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of the Valley of Hinnom. That is what it says. That is the words Jesus used. I know what it says here, right? The word is hell, isn't it? But that is not the actual words that Jesus used. This is a translation issue. They translate it into this thing called hell. And what does that do for us? It preloads what? That there's some future eternal destiny that if you don't do the right things, you're going to end up in that place. But Jesus uses a reference to something that really happened to real people in their real lifetime. They created this valley of fire, the fire of Hinnom, right there amongst themselves with other people. It wasn't just something future. Now, it does become a metaphor. The Valley of Hinnom becomes this metaphor for divine judgment, right? So anytime that it's used, it is about divine judgment, which is God saying, fine, I'm going to hand you over to this. But it's the way in which they take a transliteration of a Hebrew word, meaning they take the words or the letters from that Hebrew word and put it into Greek words. And that Greek word comes out to be Gehenna, which means fire, which is appropriate, but it has a double meaning of, in Hebrew, Gehinnom, means Valley of Hinnom. So, what do we have here? It's not just about, did you murder someone today? It's about, how did you treat each other the way that you want to be treated? That anger that's there, the words that you're using, the way in which you think about that other person, did you do that well? Or are you doing it the way that you think they deserve to be treated? And it ends up reflecting how you are in subject of being handed over to the fires of the Valley of Hinnom. Thinking that what you're doing is right, but eventually you're going to be wiped out. A judgment will come, and you'll have to face that. It's a little more scary, I think, right? This is kind of a big deal. But the hope is that it's not our only avenue, right? God sent prophets to talk with them to try to change their ways and things like that. Jesus is going to give us some direction here. Yay, thank you, right? Because anger is a tough thing for me. And the way I think about people sometimes is hard for me to get a better picture. Right? How do I make that shift from treating them the way I think they deserve to be treated to the way that I actually want to be treated? Okay, let's take a look. Verses 23 and 24. If you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. I know, you're going like, what? How is that going to help me? I'm not making any sacrifices at any temple. But that's their practice, isn't it? They would bring offerings and things like that into the temple. That's where heaven and earth have come together for them, right? The place that they go to meet God, and they are before God. They worship God in this place through their offering and their sacrifice. Appropriate sacrifice, right? Not children, right? And so what he's saying is, like, that relationship with God, like, that isn't appropriate, because you've got this relationship with this other person that has something against you, the way that you've treated them, the words that you said to them. You need to make that right first. Let's just think about it today, right? Today, if you've come here, or like during the week, someone that's here with you, they treated you really poorly. They're really mean. Some of the words that they said were just not kind words. And then you came in here, and you saw them, and there they are. They're lifting their hands up, and they're praising God, and everything looks so good. What are you sitting there feeling? Like, what a hypocrite. You're so cruel. How can you come and worship God when you've hurt me so much? Yeah? Wouldn't it be better if before that they came to church on Sunday, they came and said, hey, I know these words that I said, they were wrong and they were hurtful, and I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? You're like, yeah, you're right. Those were hurtful. And yeah, I do forgive you. And now you can come into this place together and worship God together. Wouldn't that change your whole experience? That's what it's saying here, okay? This relationship here is so important for this relationship here, right? Okay? Now, let's take it to the next step, the next step forward. That's not it. That's not the end, right? Make every effort to reconcile that relationship, right? That's what he's saying. You're going to make mistakes, but make every effort to make it right, okay? 25 through 26, this is where it's going to hit home a little bit better for us. When you are on the way to court with your adversary, you know, like we do typically, right? We just are on our way, and we're fighting with somebody, and things aren't going right, okay? Right? When you're on your way to the court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Stop. Just think about it, okay? Settle them quickly. You've got some kind of disagreement with them. You're fighting back and forth with them for some reason. If you don't settle it between just the two of you, this relationship here, what might happen? You're in danger of something. Okay? Finish the verse. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge. We've heard this language before. They may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. What's happening here? It's divine judgment. Let's just put it back in the context of the Israelite people in the time of King Ahaz and King Manasseh and all of that, right? Who's the judge? God's the judge. Who's the officer? The Syrian army. If you want to continue living this way, I'm going to hand you over to people that live that way. And let's see how that plays out for you. Kind of scary? Kind of scary. Let's think about it in Jesus' immediate context. Who's the judge? God's the judge. Who is the officer? In their context, the Romans. The problem they're having is they don't want to be ruled over by the Romans, and so they can say all mean things about them. They can treat them the way they think they deserve. They're going to be treated that same way, right? Back and forth. We've got this enemy out there. No, go and be reconciled with them. Do you really want to be handed over to them? Guess what? They will be. 70 AD, temple gets destroyed by the Romans. Why? Because the Israelites didn't listen to the words that Jesus had spoken, and they had all of these riots, and the Romans come marching in, wipe out everything. I will hand you over to the officer. What about for us in our context for today? Who's the judge? God's the judge. Who's the officer? It gets a little tricky, doesn't it? But it's all connected with the environment that you're creating. How you treat other people really matters, because you'll be handed over to that very treatment. You want to say mean things about them? You want to criticize them for certain beliefs or understandings or political alignings or whatever you want to, right? You want to do that? I'm going to hand you over to that. What kind of environment are you creating? You're creating right here, right now, the fires of the Valley of Hinnom. That's what we're in danger of. So make every effort to reconcile with one another, right? Make every effort to treat one another the way that you want to be treated. Not the way you think you deserve to be treated, or treat them the way you think they deserve to be treated. Make every effort to make things right between each other. You're going to mess up. You're going to hurt one another. We're going to do that. But can we focus on making it right? That's the thing that saves us from the fires of the Valley of Hinnom. Jesus is giving you some wisdom here. Will you listen to his wisdom? Will you live this way? Will you live according to the way that he understands these things and the whole essence of what the whole Old Testament is about? Will you wrap your mind around that and start living into that? Or will you not? Will you choose to do it with what seems right to you? That's what we're presented with here. Will you make every effort to make things right between other people? Or will you blame them? Will you just justify your own action? Will you justify your own actions? How are you going to live? I'm sure that you don't want to live in the fires of the Valley of Hinnom. Jesus is giving you another way. And I encourage you to do this. Go through Matthew chapter 5 through 7 with the lens, the little microscope, right, or the magnifying glass of treating others the way you want to be treated. It's going to blow your mind of what Jesus is saying and what that means for you. Maybe anger is not the thing for you. Maybe you don't call people names. Maybe you don't degrade them. Maybe that's not your thing, but I bet you there's something else in his sermon that's going to stand out for you. I encourage you to go back and do that. Maybe you need some help with that. Every Wednesday, we sit down and we study this stuff together. 7:30 on Wednesdays. We just did this one for this week. Maybe go back and watch it. We took a different teaching that Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount about divorce, and we looked at it through treating one another the way that we want to be treated. Totally opened it up for myself and for other people, okay? So I encourage you to do that, but I'm inviting you into a life where Jesus is giving you some wisdom of how to live, how you can put this into practice in your everyday life, because it is the environment, it is the world that you create around you. And if that is not a good world, God's just going to give you over to that. But you can change it by making things right with those around you.